is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. I'm bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But we're going to ask that you hold your calls for, maybe till close to the half hour. We have with us Professor Boyd Haley, and we're going to be talking about the danger of mercury and the fillings. And people say, mercury and the fillings, what are you talking about? Well, of course, it's been known for a long period of time that mercury is very toxic. Oh, you know, we can't have you eating swordfish or tuna fish because there are traces of mercury there, and especially pregnant women shouldn't be eating swordfish or tuna fish. Or if we're going to outlaw the use of thermometers, because of course the mercury from thermometers might get into your house and create vapors, but of course is there another source of mercury that's much closer than that? And that's what we're going to be talking about. The professor is a professor of chemistry, and I heard him speak about 2 weeks ago, and I was so impressed I just wanted to have him come and share his views with you. Thank you so very much for being with us today. Professor Haley? Professor Haley, are you there? There we are. Okay. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, fine. Well, we forgot to push a button there. These fancy electronic gadgets, you know, I like the old-fashioned kind. You don't have to think so much. They're automatic. But anyway, you actually have been teaching chemistry for a long time.
Yes, I've been a professor since about 1974.
All right. Where do you teach?
Right now, I'm chairman of the chemistry department at the University of Kentucky.
All right, fine. And so how did you get interested in, of all things, fillings? I mean, why should we be worried about fillings? I mean, aren't they in our teeth? And they just sort of sit there, and they're with us all of our life, and that's why we're so healthy and we've got good teeth?
Well, I mean, I think that what you're saying is partly true. I didn't get into this because I was interested in fillings. Even though I'm chairman of the chemistry department, and my degrees are all in chemistry and physics, my background and the research I've done for many years has been in biochemistry. And basically I look at the enzymes or the proteins in the body that convert food into energy.
All right.
And then I do a lot of work on metabolism. And later in my life, when I first moved to the University of Kentucky, I had a graduate student who went to work with an Alzheimer's Center at the University of Kentucky. And in the conversations, we decided to look at the differences between, you know, the metabolism and the enzymology that occurs in an AD brain, an Alzheimer's disease brain, versus a control brain. And we found major differences and published those differences. And everybody agrees that those differences we've reported are correct. I mean, there's no doubt about the differences. I mean, everyone will agree what I reported there is correct. But then, if you understand about Alzheimer's disease, it's not genetically inherited. You inherit a predisposition for the disease or the major form of the disease, but you can have two identical twins and one will not get Alzheimer's disease. They determined this by following a set of 500 sets of identical twins from World War II.
All right, we're going to have to hold off right there. We're going to have to change stations here for just a moment, and we'll be back in just a moment with Professor Haley, and we'll be talking about the danger that every one of you, or most of you out there in the audience, face today. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And, of course, with us today is Professor Boyd Haley. And, of course, he is a professor of the Department of Chemistry at the University of Kentucky. We've been talking about, of course, the danger of mercury that is in fillings. And he's been saying that, you know, why is it that people develop Alzheimer's disease? And certainly you can take identical twins and follow them, you know, over a period of many, many years, and one will get Alzheimer's disease and the other won't. So how did you go from there, that fact that certainly it's not predominantly or doesn't not necessarily a genetic disease, although that may play a part in it, to a realization that there were other factors that were influencing the development of some of these degenerative central nervous system problems?
Well, you know, what the conclusion comes with is that you have to have some sort of toxic insult or some infectious vector to cause this. And when you look at the rate in the United States, you know, things have to make sense. And the rate's almost the same in California as it is in Vermont, as it is in Maine, Florida, etc. So it's probably not an environmental toxin that is, you know, due to farming, because farmers don't get the disease any more than people who live in the city or in the suburbs. And so we started doing, when we found out these biochemical aberrancies of things that were wrong, we decided to start testing what would be toxins that you might run into to see if they could mimic the effects in either a normal brain tissue that's exposed to this toxin, or rats that we could expose to this toxin, or neurons in culture. And to make a long story short, and this is not just my work, because other people have now backed up our earlier research, the only material that will produce all of the diagnostic hallmarks of Alzheimer's disease and produce the aberrant biochemistry we see in Alzheimer's disease brain is mercury, and only mercury. Now, materials like lead and aluminum and cadmium, which are toxic metals, do not do this, but they do lower the concentration of mercury that's required to have that effect. So a person who's lead toxic is much more susceptible to a lower level of mercury than is someone who is not lead toxic.
Well, now, did you find any levels of mercury actually in the brains of people with Alzheimer's disease? I mean, more than you might expect?
Well, the thing is, this was done here again at the University of Kentucky in our Alzheimer's centers, and they published about 7 papers saying that the only metal that was elevated in AD brain versus age mass controls was mercury.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to have to just bring our one last station onto line. And then, of course, we want to develop this idea of the effect of mercury and Alzheimer's disease. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest is Professor Boyd Haley of the University of Kentucky. And of course, there in Kentucky, they're doing this research, and what are they finding? They're finding elevated levels of mercury, and of course they're looking for some sort of a toxin that is going to precipitate this. And of course, as Professor Haley was saying, certainly levels of aluminum and lead can influence this, because it means that the mercury becomes toxic at a lower level, but it's not these other metals that are doing it, it's the mercury. And so then where did you go? You decided that mercury was really responsible for Alzheimer's disease, and is Alzheimer's disease increasing, or is it staying pretty constant?
Well, no, it has increased. You know, over the last 20 years, the rate has increased.
All right.
this is where I ran it. See, I published my data, and I published it in major refereed journals. I mean, journals that would be appropriate for the, you know, the publication of such data. And the response is what surprised me. You know, you would think that the government would be excited to find something that might be a new idea. As a matter of fact, the Alzheimer's Association and the National Institutes of Health have asked for new ideas, because they know they're up a blind alley with the previous concepts that they had with regard to the causation of Alzheimer's. But when you presented the fact that it was mercury, I ran into two different groups. The first group I ran into was a group of dentists who formed the International Academy of Oral and Medical Toxicology, who think mercury is highly toxic and refuse to place it in patients' mouth because they feel that they themselves have been damaged, or they feel like they have damaged some of their patients by doing so. They invited me to a meeting to give a talk. I thought they were toxicologists, so I went to the meeting, and they informed me that mercury comes out of dental amalgams. And I didn't believe them. To be honest with you, I thought I'd landed in with a group of kooks who were just doing this, because I couldn't believe the Food and Drug Administration, or the American Dental Association, either one would allow somebody to put something in my mouth that would leak mercury. However, they had a mercury vapor analyzer there that they could measure mercury in the oral cavity, and I'm very good with instrumentation. And I watched them, and even when they showed me that people with amalgam fillings had, and they let me do the testing myself, I could test the room air, the air by the person's ear, and then test the mercury in their mouth, and I could see that, obviously, that there was, you know, more mercury being given off than I thought was reasonable. But I still didn't believe them, and to the amount that they said. I could tell that mercury was coming off the amalgam fillings. That was very easy to see. And so when I got back to my laboratory in the, you know, in the preceding months, we made amalgam fillings outside the mouth, like the size of a baby aspirin, and put them in containers that were sealed with 50 mLs of water, and then measured the amount of mercury in that water every day for several days. And then after we did that for a while, we took the amalgams and we brushed them 30 seconds twice a day with a toothbrush to see if it increased the amount of mercury. And to make a long story short, there was about 4.5 micrograms per centimeter squared mercury, you know, released from the amalgams if they were just sitting quietly in a test tube. And if you brushed them, you know, the equivalent of 2 30-second brushings a day with a regular toothbrush, the level went up over tenfold. So, and I've done this in class. I teach a class to some really bright students that come into the university every year called Mercury Science and Politics. And I have the students do that test and to look at the amount of mercury. And all of them are like me, kind of chagrined and not believing when someone says mercury comes out of amalgams and how high it comes out, because that level is much, much higher than what the ADA says.
I can remember 50 years ago when I was learning to be an orthopedic surgeon, or I guess 45 years ago, as it had been about the mid-1950s. That's pretty close to 50 years ago. And there was a doctor there who trained at the Mayo Clinic. And you had these people that come in, they got all these aches and pains and arthritis, and nothing in the world helps them. He'd have them go get all their teeth pulled and false teeth, and they were all better. And, of course, we always used to make fun of him. But the trouble was that you couldn't do something like that unless an awful lot of people did get better, and they did, and they had dramatic improvement, and they were some of his most grateful patients, and he even had us come over to talk to these patients. And, you know, but like you, I was so skeptical. I never thought, of course, that we were thinking maybe chronic infection or something, you know, in the teeth. And yet, of course, there was a dramatic improvement in these people afterwards. Well, as you've talked to these dentists, you know, who really are willing, of course, to look beyond what they're being told and indoctrinated in by the Dental Association, who have a vested interest in covering up the truth, because, after all, if the public ever realized what would happen, think of the implications of this. Now, as you talk to these dentists who are taking the mercury out of their patients, are the patients getting better afterwards?
Well, you know, there's a study that was done on over 900 patients in Uppsala, Sweden, you know, at the University of Uppsala. And what they did, they removed their amalgam filling safely. They put them on, you know, vitamin therapies and let them, you know, alone for quite some time. And then subsequently they gave them each a questionnaire, just like the one they gave earlier, and asked them how, you know, to describe their health. And over 70% of the people described, you know, significant improvement in their health. Some of them were their symptoms, such as, you know, these were all people that had problems, you know, like chronic fatigue, multiple sclerosis, ALS, and other diseases like that. They had a tremendous improvement in their overall health. I mean, the data, and that's been published, is quite remarkable. And since then, this last year, the government of Sweden has funded them with 18 million kroners, Kroners, I guess it's called, for them to continue this study to look at the positive effect of health on Swedish citizens by having their amalgams removed. And now, today in Sweden, you cannot charge placing amalgams to the state Medicare equivalent. But you can go in and charge the state Medicare equivalent the removal of your dental amalgams and replacement with composite fillings.
Isn't it interesting, of course, that this is known in Europe, it's not known in America. And in fact, when you talk to the average American about this, they look at you as if, you know, as if you just told them that some little critter landed from outer space. And yet, of course, in Sweden, they know about this. Here in America, of course, where we have freedom of the press, we just never hear this responded to. Now, what sort of response have you got from the mainline dentist and from the Dental Association when you begin talking about this heretical view that actually a dental amalgam is harmful to people?
It's an amazing response. First of all, the American Dental Association has never talked to me. I've written them letters. They never respond to our letters. We've challenged them on their viewpoints, offered to debate them, and they don't come out and fight. If they do come out and fight when we're trying to get bills through state legislatures to inform people of the mercury content of amalgam fillings, they lose. They know they will lose. They have no science to back them up. When you talk, and I have gone out and talked to about four different what they call dental study groups. This is local dentists who have a group of maybe 20, 25 people, dentists that give lectures to each other. And they've invited me, and they've even introduced me as the enemy. And when I talk to them, when I first walk in, they are very close. They give me the cold shoulder that you can tell they don't like me at all.
Don't like it.
but they usually keep me there an hour or 2 hours after my talk, because when I start showing them the science that's been published, and I tear down, what the ADA says, you point out to them, if the ADA knows that mercury doesn't come out of amalgam fillings, why don't they publish a paper and shut me up? One of you guys find, I'll give you $500 if you can show me a paper published by the American Dental Association or any of their group that absolutely measures the mercury coming out of an amalgam filling in a reasonable way, and gives you a value. If you go to their website, they use what I call weasel words. They say it's just a little bit of mercury. It's a minuscule amount, and that no one's ever shown that it does any damage. Well, that, I don't believe the last statement, but that is not how scientists talk. That's not how medical researchers talk. They will say there's so many micrograms per centimeter squared surface area of mercury released per day. And they have never published this, and they have spent, millions and millions of dollars from the National Institutes of Dental and Craniofacial Research looking at amalgams, and have yet to publish a paper that states the amount of mercury that comes out of an amalgam filling.
Well, I know, of course, one of my very good friends is a dentist, and he tells me that the leaders of organized dentistry know this, at least here in California, and they know they're eventually going to lose, and they are afraid to death. They don't know what they're going to do. How are you going to tell the patients that they've been putting the amalgams in all these years that it is potentially dangerous to their health and the health of their children? And my understanding is that, 30 or 40 or 50 years ago, the dentist knew this. In fact, at one time, it was almost malpractice to put in amalgam fillings. Have you ever heard that story?
Yes, that was back when they first introduced the amalgams. The dentistry was then organized under the American College of Dental Surgeons, and you had to sign a thing saying that you would not place mercury in a human's mouth because they knew it was neurotoxic. However, there was a group, they were Frenchmen, but they were from England. They came here from England, called the Concours Brothers, and they had found out about amalgam fillings. The amalgam material was invented by the Chinese many, many years before 1830. But what it was at that time, it was something that you could actually work effectively with. And there's no doubt amalgam is a great tooth-filling material if you don't have to worry about being exposed to excess mercury. I mean, it goes in a tooth easy. It's very easy to place. And because it's toxic, it will kill most of the infection that's left in the tooth. I mean, it'll kill the bacteria. Aerobic bacteria cannot stand mercury. And so, it had some advantages. However, back in the 1830s, all the way up to the early 1900s, the average age of an American was, 50 years of age before they died. Now we're living to be 78. And so we got this extra 28 years of average lifespan that the mercury can collect in our body, and it's collecting in a body that is getting less and less capable of excreting that mercury as we age. And that's a known fact. I mean, this is something that anyone that knows physiology realizes, that glutathione levels in a body decreases with age, and glutathione is a molecule that binds mercury and removes it from cells. So, this is not the same day and not the same time as the 1800s. Right now, people live a long time, and we have to reevaluate what we're putting in our mouths.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back with Professor Boyd Halen here in just a few minutes. And, of course, we'll welcome your calls after the half hour. But please don't call before then, because other aspects of this we really want to cover. And I think you have to realize this is one of the greatest covers of our time. There are many covers up, but this is such an important one. And you better start evaluating this, because I will tell you that the Dental Association is frightened to death that people are going to learn the truth.
Well, Well, if there's any one tip that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi. Recently, a medical journal reported on the world's first proven remedy for the common cold, Allicin, the active ingredient in garlic. During winter months, a pure Allicin garlic extract reduced the risk of the common cold by 50%. This was demonstrated in a double-blind, placebo-controlled study, science's highest measure of effectiveness. Where do you get pure Allicin? You won't find it in store-bought garlic pills, but you'll find it in Alamax. Alamax provides the equivalent of 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. Where do you get Alamax? Dial this number now, 866-405-4000. Learn more about Alamax at 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention some of the other things we have here that sort of help Radio Liberty meet the excessive bills we have as we, of course, move across the country. And we're on about 68 different outlets of satellite and internet and shortwave and radio stations now every single week, where people are hearing things they've never heard before. So we hope that many of you will give serious consideration to getting some of these items. One of them is, if we were to have a breakdown in society, would you have food and other things on hand to look after yourself? Well, if you'd like to know what you should have in case of an emergency, just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And of course, you can get a ready reserve food catalog free of charge. And then, of course, you may very well want to have a water filter. They're good anyway. If you have any trouble with your water, you have fluoride in it, you have to get special post filters. But we have filters that will take the fluoride out, and of course we have other filters that of course will take out the bacteria and the bad taste and the chemicals that you don't want in your drinking water. And so if you'd like to get a big Berkey water filter, why of course these are ordinarily $279. We offer them for $239, and if you get them through us, through Radio Liberty, you get a 4-tape set or a video we produced. And then, of course, you can get the Berkey Light, and that's $199. You can't get the Big Berkey in California, but you can get the Berkey Light in California. It's cheaper in many ways. It's better. You can actually see the water levels because they use Lexan, a transparent material, to make it. And the filters, of course, are a little slower, but of course they're much more thorough, and they really purify the water. We call it water purification rather than water filtration. And of course, these are black Berkey filters, but they have to be replaced every 2 to 4 years. So if you'd like to, of course, to see the two filters, the Berkey Light and the Big Berkey, why go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And if you have any questions, give us a call. And then, of course, we hope you'll want to order one at 1-800-544-8927. Call now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest today is Boyd Haley. Professor Boyd Haley is chairman of the Department of Chemistry at the University of Kentucky. And you would say, well, why wouldn't, of course, everybody want to, get this information out? Well, of course, I think there are a lot of people who have a vested interest in being wrong. And then, of course, the average dentist is told, he was taught in medical school or dental school, that this is perfectly safe. And, of course, he's going to have to begin to challenge everything he was taught, if he does, begins to look into the background. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, I think that you need to get the information, and I'm sure that Professor Haley will tell you how to get some of that information later in the program, and then you need to educate your dentist. The information's up there on the internet. Did you show the dentist those pictures that you showed at the meeting I attended of the vapor actually coming off the tooth, off the filling?
And, you know, and I also tell them that you can use a mercury vapor sniffer and place it into that fume that you see coming off, you know, in the UV light, and determine that it absolutely is mercury. It's not water or anything else. You know, the thing that some of your listeners should do is go to your local dental school. You know, and I found several things that kind of help explain, you know, this dichotomy of why the dentists don't seem to understand, you know, that mercury comes off. And I think what they do is they just believe what they're told by the bureaucrats at the American Dental Association. For example, in our school at the University of Kentucky, I debated one of the major pro-amalgam dentists there, and I asked the entire audience, which was about 200 dentists, how many instruments that they have in the dental school to measure mercury in the air, or, you know, the amount of mercury that would come off of an amalgam filling in water. And they didn't have one instrument. Well, see, in the chemistry department where I'm chairman, you know, we have, you know, four or five instruments that can do that. And so it's not the purview of the dentist, you know, to measure mercury coming off an amalgam. They just repeat what they're told. They have none of them, or very few of them, and if they are, they're not talking, have ever measured mercury coming off of a dental amalgam. They're not even trained to do that type of technology.
Well, of course, and one of the things is, aren't the dentists actually in danger themselves? Aren't they getting an excessive amount of mercury?
Yes, and see, in my opinion, the dentists are the major victims of this the line put out by the bureaucrats at the American Dental Association. They're the ones that are going to get sued, because the American Dental Association is a trade organization, and they have gotten out of several class action lawsuits by the mere process of saying, we owe no responsibility to human health. We're a trade organization. We're just here to service our patrons, and we are not responsible. We have a right to our opinion, but we're not responsible for anything to do with dental or medical health. That's written up in legal cases, and that's how they get out of it. Not because they're correct, but because they are a trade organization. That's the equivalent of the Teamsters Union telling Teamsters, you can't make a living driving the speed limit. You have to speed if you want to make a living trucking. And so when the trucker speeds and the police arrest him, you know, it's the driver that gets put in jail, not the Teamsters. And that's the kind of logic that they're using. Yet you go to the ADA website, and they will tell you that mercury doesn't come off of amalgam fillings. And what they will say is that it's tied in there tightly, and it's just like table salt or like water. And I'll tell you, that is the most preposterous level of chemistry that one could imagine. If you had a frying pan in your house, and you had it on your stove, and it were hot, if you poured water in it, the water would come off as a vapor of steam and wouldn't hurt you at all. If you sprinkled table salt in that hot frying pan, it would just sit there. The salt would not react, it would not come off, it wouldn't vaporize, it would do nothing, and it would certainly cause you no harm. But if you had an amalgam filling, a single large amalgam filling from your jaw, and you dropped it in that frying pan, it would fill that room with poisonous mercury vapor in a very short order, and it would make it uninhabitable for some time, you know, the room that you were in, or even the entire house.
Well, of course, this thing, I think, is pointed out by the fact that they've outlawed mercury thermometers now for various. They break one of those, and I heard that somebody had actually dropped a thermometer, and then they tried to vacuum up the mercury, and there was really cases of mercury intoxication. Can that actually happen?
Oh, yes. In our laboratory, you know, where we teach organic chemistry, we've had to remove all mercury-containing fillings. I mean, mercury-containing thermometers. They can just use the ones with alcohol. And before we did that, if someone broke a thermometer in the laboratory, we had to evacuate the floor and call in hazmat.
And people have no idea how toxic this is. You know, and when I was growing up, I had no idea. But now, of course, we have the ability to measure, to see what's going on. And this is really rather frightening when we stop and think that all these dentists are out there, certainly, you know, they get a lot more of the mercury than we do. Doesn't it actually create depression in some people?
Well, you know, I think it does. I don't want to step out of bounds where I don't have it, but where I don't have, you know, all the data. But I can tell you there have been several studies showing that dentists, you know, suffer from minor neurological problems more than the average population. And that was done by the scientists at the University of Washington in Seattle.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest.
Thank you.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course I want to, of course, mention some of the other items we carry. We carry something called Phonopoly, and if you have children or grandchildren, and of course you'd like to get them educated so they can read properly, because reading is the key to education and really to a full life, why, of course, you need to get a Phonopoly set for them, because the public schools are dumbing down the children with a system that doesn't work and doesn't work effectively and is known not to work, and of course you need to be able to read phonetically and spell phonetically and pronounce words phonetically, and Phonopoly is designed to teach you to do that. In 16 hours, you can reverse all the harm that has been done. Most of these programs are $500-$600. This is $139.95. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask about Phonopoly. And then, of course, we also carry the Robinson Homeschool curriculum. If you want, of course, to get your children out of government school and into homeschooling, this is $199.95 for the entire curriculum. It's on 22 CDs, and everything you need other than the Saxon math books is here, your textbooks, Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer, and all sorts of wonderful books that your children can read. The lesson plans, everything's there. That's the Robinson Homeschool curriculum. And, of course, you get these things by calling 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope many of you will be interested in the Miracle 2 soap products. We've used them. We believe in them. And, of course, I can't make any medical claims, but I'll tell you, I was up in the middle of the night putting some of the gel on my shoulder, which was extremely painful. And, well, at least for me, it works. Anyway, give it a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to know about the Miracle 2 soap products, all I can tell you is that many of the people who use them are faithful users, and many of them call them a miracle. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and our guest today is Professor Boyd Haley, who's a professor of chemistry he's the chairman of the department at the University of Kentucky. And of course, if you're out there in the listening audience and you have any question at all, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And remember, what's at stake is your health and the health of your children. And of course, if you'd like, give us a call, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Why, give us a call and you can ask Professor Haley. And right now, let's go to Roger, who's calling from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Hi, Roger. Question or comment?
Yeah, hi. Thank you, gentlemen. And it was like just in the last couple of years on Tony Brown's Journal, a dentist on there, they were talking about the same thing and made crystal clear that he could not even talk in any venue or suggest to anyone that they have an amalgam filling removed. They had to tell the dentist if they wanted a filling removed, otherwise they wouldn't lose their license. They wouldn't be able to do dentistry anymore. Any response to that?
I've never heard that. Have you heard that?
Well, absolutely, yes. When I first got into this issue with the dentist, and I was quite concerned about, you know, we're going back to Alzheimer's disease, and all the data that we have shows that, you know, mercury may be the major cause. And then you see the amount of, you say, well, how could all the world or all the United States be exposed to mercury? Then you find out they're putting grams in your mouth, you know, in every filling, you know, that you have. I mean, the average weight would probably be near a gram or more. And so I start telling people, look, this could be a real exacerbating factor if someone were going to get Alzheimer's disease. Having dental amalgams in your mouth would be a real bad idea, and we do know millions of Americans do get this disease. So even if you want to believe it's not causal, it's definitely a factor that would exacerbate or make the condition worse. I found out that dentists, if they told someone, even someone that is on renal therapy, you know, going to kidney dialysis, they couldn't tell them that the mercury they were putting in their mouth might make them worse. They'd lose their license. They had a gag order on these dentists.
Oh, now, how do they do that? So the medical society, the dental...
The dental boards, the state dental boards will call in somebody and take their license if they make a statement that, even if they make a statement that there is mercury in amalgam fillings, which is 100% true, and if they make a statement that it's in there and they don't want to place it because they think it will make you sick, they will do their best to take their license, and that's going on even today. I mean, I'm representing, working as a scientific expert for a young female dentist in Georgia, Atlanta, that the state dental board is trying to take her license because she advertised that she did not place amalgam fillings.
Well, I think it's about time, you know, that we got the truth out, and that it's really up to you and the listening audience to educate your dentists, you know, against their medical against their dental organizations, which do have an agenda. Anything else, Roger?
Yeah, lastly, do you have any opinion on the relative merits of the various chelating agents and their administration routes, including, as I've heard, perhaps the chelation suppositories like Detoximin might be superior in all respects, and God bless.
All right, thank you. And of course, Roger is asking about getting the mercury out of the system.
Well, right now, I don't know that anyone knows the best way to get mercury out of the system because it's never been studied in a, you know, in a rigid clinical setting. The thing I will tell you is that EDTA, while it does get rid of other metals from your body and may help you in the long run by getting, say, things like lead and aluminum and cadmium out of your body, which, you know, increase the toxicity of the mercury, EDTA does not remove mercury from the body. It just cannot pull it off the proteins. It doesn't have that strong chelation power because it's the chemistry. It just doesn't have the thiol groups. People have had a lot of luck, and what I prefer, I mean, and I'm not a physician, nor am I a dentist, nor am I a chelation expert as far as treating patients, but I know how the normal, healthy body gets rid of mercury. And it does it by, you know, using a compound that's made inside your cells called glutathione. And what I prefer is supplementing the especially someone that's ill, with natural compounds that increase the amount of this compound called glutathione inside the cells. And that's high-dose vitamin C and glutathione IV, small amounts of lipoic acid and other reducing vitamins like vitamin E, et cetera.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to John, who's in Los Angeles. Hi, John. How are you doing?
Oh, just fine.
Are you listening on the internet or shortwave?
Yes,
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, I was very interested in the chelation possibilities for glutathione. Would N-acetylcysteine help to raise glutathione? And also, I've heard people assert that garlic is capable of removing mercury from the central nervous system, rather extraordinary claim. And I wondered what the possible mercury clearing rates might be that might have been observed.
Can you comment on that at all?
I can comment. You know, the problem with the normal chelators like EDTA and DMPS and DMSA, I can give you the chemical names if you want them, but is that they don't cross the blood-brain barrier and they don't get inside most cells and they definitely don't get inside mitochondria. Now, N-acetylcysteine, you know, has really good possibilities that it definitely crosses the blood-brain barrier and, you know, could get in and give some help, because cysteine is one of the major components and is needed to produce glutathione, which is a compound that binds and removes mercury. Now, I've heard a lot of good things about garlic, and there are a lot of people that swear by it, but I don't know that anyone really knows how it works, except that garlic does contain compounds that binds mercury very tightly.
All right, that's a possibility. That does answer your question, John.
Yeah, pretty much. I just wonder if there's been any observations about the potential for the body to clear mercury, at what rates, how many micrograms a day or whatever from exposure to mercury, and also any evidence that it was actually able to clear mercury from the central nervous system.
You're talking about doing that on its own without...
By whatever, either... unassisted or assisted with supplements or drugs.
All right, fine. Thank you. Let's get take that on the air, and let's ask Professor Boyd Haley. Will the body get rid of the mercury if we just stop putting newer mercury in?
Absolutely, especially if it's made healthy. If, you know, you have to have, you have metabolism, and your metabolism has to be up. Now, someone that's ill, someone that's really old, is much less capable of getting rid of mercury, say, than a young 23-year-old healthy adult. And but the body does. No, the body is constantly getting rid of mercury. That's the reason if it couldn't get rid of it, our amalgams would kill us much quicker. I mean, they would get to us very quickly. And it's only when we age do we see that we can no longer handle this burden, and we start getting some neurological diseases. No, they have not done the study where they have shown mercury being removed from the brain of a human being. I don't think anyone knows any process that they can absolutely have solid science saying this took mercury out of the brain. But we do know that mercury leaves the body. If someone has their amalgams removed and they take high-dose vitamin C, glutathione, even DMPS and DMSA, they will see mercury going out in their feces and in their urine. So we do know that human beings can excrete mercury. There's no doubt about that.
All right, fine. Well, Chris, let's go to Spencer, who's calling from Ohio. Spencer, you have a question or comment?
Yes, sir, Dr. Stan. I'd like to ask Dr. Haley. I'm in total agreement with the Congressman Burton bill to outlaw mercury because I think it's being used for alchemy over chemistry, because mercury dental metallic amalgamums work in conjunction with the ELF wave transmission towers as well as the
All right, fine. Congressman Burton has some sort of a bill, do you know?
Yes, he and also Congressman Diane Watson from California and Burton from Indiana, they have a bill in Congress to outlaw the or to phase out the use of dental amalgams very quickly, and to not allow placing them in the mouths of mothers or women who are going to be of childbearing age and in young children. And in this publication that I have coming out in the International Journal of Toxicology next month, what we showed is we measured the mercury in the birth hair, the hair that the child was born with, of several children. And what we found is that in normal children, the amount of mercury in their birth hair correlated and increased with the number of increasing amalgam fillings that the birth mother had.
Well, now, what about the Environmental Protection Agency? Are they protecting anything, or are they just simply playing the political game?
No, I've talked to them a lot. They are on our side. They're saying, look, we say mercury is toxic. If it's outside in your drinking water at levels that that are much, much, much lower than what you have in your saliva and your mouth that you're swallowing from your dental amalgams, they would shut that well water down.
But they can't shut down our mouths, is that?
They have no assignment and no responsibility in medicine and dentistry, so they cannot. All they can do is sit back and say, we think that's an unsafe level, but they have no authority to go shut down a dental office unless they're flushing it down the sewage system into the system. And now they do give them a hard time, because dental operatories are some of the major contributors to mercury in the sewage treatment plants in small towns and cities.
Now, what about, of course, the dental assistant? She's in there, and she's in there with the dentist, and he's mixing up the mercury, and they may be putting in three or four or five or six of these a day. And of course, this is vaporized as it's being mixed, isn't it?
More of it comes out of a fresh amalgam than an old one, and when they're mixing it, that's the time when it releases the most. Yes, I'd say these are high risk people, and that's been. Dr. Vasiposhan from the University of Arizona looked at the mercury levels in the blood and urine of dental technicians in Mexico. He couldn't get cooperation in the United States, and found that they carry a relatively high level of mercury.
Well, we know that actually, I've heard, and I don't know if it's true, but there is a significant increase in chronic fatigue syndrome and similar things, and of course in people that work in dental offices. I can't quote that, but I've just heard it, and maybe somebody out there does have some studies on that. Well, this is really so important, and certainly there are at least some congressmen who are aware of what the problem is, but the biggest thing is, of course, that people have a vested interest in this, and don't you think an awful lot of this is just pride? You just don't want to come up and say, we were wrong?
A lot of it is, and a lot of it is, fear of loss of credibility. At the Dan Burton's hearing on dental amalgams, the person that was the spokesperson for the American Dental Association, I looked up his publication, and all of his publications were in making a better amalgam filling, to make fillings that were made of metal containing mercury, and this guy is there telling everybody they're safe. what you realize, his entire career is down the toilet if all of a sudden people say we're not going to play some amalgams anymore, because his education in material science and dentistry is making amalgams, and that's all he's ever published on. So there's a vested interest in a lot of people wanting to keep their jobs, and also the money. You can place in a dental office somewhere between 2 to 3 amalgam fillings in the time frame that it takes you to place one composite. And so it's a good moneymaker. There's something to do with money.
All right, well, let's go to Bruce, who's calling from Ohio. Hi, Bruce. Is that you?
Yes, it is. Hi, Dr. Stan.
How are you doing?
Good, good. Great. It's another great show. I realize you're short on time. I just wanted to ask one question, if I might.
Sure, go ahead.
Yes, mercury's dangerous. It's obviously, from what the doctor is saying here, we need to address it. How do we address it? Would he have a recommendation as far as a substitute goes? And I'll listen for my answer.
All right, of course. The question is, a substitute, actually, don't they put in ceramic fillings now?
There are several materials that they can use. The main thing is a glass ionophore composite filling. It's, in my opinion, much better than the amalgam. If people realize that an amalgam filling has no adhesive power to the tooth, and they have to do an undercut. In other words, the bottom has to be bigger than the top, otherwise it would just fall out. So they cut out a lot of good tooth when they fill in a cavity, just to get the amalgam to stay there for a long time. Whereas with these composites, they are actually adhesive, made in an adhesive form that they stick to the tooth. So all you have to do is just scrape off the dead material, the carried material, and put the amalgam on, and it makes the tooth one unit instead of one that's just, a center cut out, and the amalgam just sitting in the center of it.
All right, let's go to Harry, who's calling from Michigan. Hi, Harry, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, and how are you folks today?
Doing fine, thanks.
Great, appreciate your show, great show. Two questions, and one is the conspiratorial beliefs that I have in life. A demon behind every bush, so to speak. Did they know that amalgams, this mercury, from the very beginning, was detrimental to human beings?
All right, the question is, did they know initially if amalgams were detrimental? I understood that the dentists, a lot of them, didn't want to use it initially. Wasn't that true?
Well, that's true. I mean, people back, the Mad Hatter was, the people, they knew people when... crazy from working with mercury with regard to the hatting industry. It's been well known that mercury would cause people's teeth to fall out, their hair to fall out, and they would become insane. That's the reason in 1830, the American College of Dental Surgeons, you had to sign an oath not to place mercury in anybody's mouth or amalgams. So people have known that mercury's been toxic for, hundreds of years. It's not a new idea.
All right, and so the great tragedy has been known all along, and then somebody came along and said, we can make a lot more money, we can put a lot more of these fillings in, this is going to be a gravy train. Do you think that was one of the major major motivations?
Well, I guess maybe I'm thinking that these people thought they found something that was really great, and they couldn't see any immediate negative effects, and they thought, well, humans can handle this small exposure to mercury. And it does save their tooth, and it does get rid of the pain, and they probably thought they were doing the right thing. I don't think that anybody did this maliciously. But what bothers me now is that this is a different day and age, and people can now do neat science, modern science, to show that mercury does come out of amalgam fillings. It is the major contributor to mercury body burden, not fish. Most of the mercury in the human body is 80% of it, at least. In the United States, it's in our bodies, comes from dental amalgams, not eating fish. And that's covered up. And they know this. And they know that this level of mercury, even the National Academy of Sciences and the EPA, all have released articles saying somewhere between 8 and 10% of American women of childbearing age have such high levels of mercury body burden to put any child they would give birth to at risk for neurological disease. And so, and yet the ADA sits there and says, this stuff is not, there's no proof that it's dangerous. Well, why can't they believe the National Academy of Sciences and the Environmental Protection Agency Sciences, who are toxicologists? And the dentists have no training in toxicology, very little training in biochemistry and in the kind of medicine that would be involved in looking at neurological diseases.
Okay, does that answer your question, Harry?
Yes, if I can, 10 seconds, just ask one quick thing. How does a person find a dentist today? Because my dentist thinks that I'm crazy when I brought this up to him. you know, he said it in a nice way, but how do I find a dentist that's willing to have this my amalgams removed in a proper way?
All right, that's a good question. Thanks so much, Harry. How can Harry actually get a dentist to do this? How is he going to find one?
Well, you know, there is a group called the International Academy of Oral and Medical Toxicology, and they have a website, and it's an email address you can go to, and it's called MZIFF@IAOMT.org.
IAMT.org.
Yeah, IAOMT, International Academy of Oral and Medical Toxicology. And MZIF, that's Dr. Mike Ziff, is the executive officer. And if you email there, they'll send you, they'll put you in contact with dentists who are trained to remove amalgam fillings.
Well, thank you so very much. It's been a real pleasure. We'll look forward to having you on one of our other programs here in the next week. Bye-bye, and God bless you, sir.
This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just simply mention the Institute of the Constitution, and, of course, one of the most carefully kept secrets in America today is that America was founded by Christians, our laws were based upon Christianity, and for 150 years, everybody in the world knew America was a Christian nation. But you see, if we were going, of course, to change the world, if we were going to transform the world, we had to destroy that knowledge. We had, of course, to destroy the fundamentals of Christianity, to infiltrate the seminaries of both Catholic and Protestant, and begin changing their worldview. If you'd like to learn about our history, if you'd like to help others learn, the Institute of the Constitution offers a wonderful, wonderful course. Why don't you give them a call at 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068. And, of course, you can get the kit. There's, of course, 12 half-hour programs, a couple of films by David Barton. There's a book that tells you exactly how to put the programs on. If you're not willing to invest a little time in saving the country, who will? And if not now, when? If you'd like to know what's happened to the church, if you're a Catholic, you need our four-tape set, The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. If you're a Protestant, you need to get our four-tape set on the apostate church, and both Catholics and Protestants need to get the four-tape set on Musical Madness and the book that goes with that. You need to get our four-tape set on Whatever Happened to Hell, because they've changed the teaching. We don't have two people today who have no fear at all of God, and yet, of course, that was the very essence of Christianity, was a fear of God and a realization that one day we will all stand before Him. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Ask for The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. Even Protestants can enjoy it. The Apostate Church, Musical Madness, and, of course, What Happened to Hell? Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and this is the time I have to remind all of our listeners across America that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. We're really dependent upon you for your help and your support. So the weekend, 5 hours every day, and then on the weekends now, 35, 36 stations are carrying our programs, and we are beginning to reach more and more people with the truth that they will never get elsewhere. And so you can help us by joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, as much as you can afford. You'll get our four best tapes, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but you'll become part of our team and part of our support team, because we're primarily really reliant upon those people who month in, month out, loyally contribute towards our goal of bringing the truth to the American people. Now, of course, we hope that some of you will, of course, want to get maybe just subscribe to the newsletter. If you do, if you'd like a free copy of the newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and we'll be glad to send you a free copy of the newsletter. The June newsletter, I certainly specifically recommend. It goes into the background of all the new diseases we're having and why there's so many antibiotic-resistant diseases and why there's just so much cancer out there. It's just happening by accident, or is there something else going on? And then, of course, we want to mention some of the products we carry. Certainly, we carry Alamax, which is a wonderful garlic product. I've taken it for about 9 months now, and my blood pressure is down. I haven't had a serious cold or infection. Let me suggest you call 866-405-4000. That's 866-405-4000 to learn about a garlic product that really works. It's called Alamax. And then, of course, the Institute of the Constitution, if you want to help set up a training program in your community. The number is 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068. We carry Phenopoly, which is a program that will allow you to teach your children and grandchildren how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. And it's far cheaper than anything you'll get anywhere else in the country. And then, of course, we also carry the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum so that you can get your children out of the government schools, bring them close to God, and, of course, teach them what they need to know to succeed in the world. And the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum on 22 CDs is actually $199.95. Everything is there that you need. The lesson plans are the lessons, the textbooks. The only thing you have to buy are the sex and math books. Of course, if you need information on food and where you get emergency food supplies now, so in case you ever need them, you can get them. Why, call us for and ask for a food catalog, and we'll send you free of charge a catalog. If you want to get the products, you can, and just have them on hand. Let's hope and pray we don't need them, but we're heading into very difficult times. Of course, if you're struggling with your cost of your health care insurance or you don't have any insurance, consider a Christian health cost sharing program, a Christian health cost sharing program. It's called MediShare, and if you'd like to know about it, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We hope many of you, of course, will want to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, or get the Brotherhood of Darkness special. Or we have so many other products here. We have any five videos we produced for $69.95. And if you'd like to get our catalog, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Go to our website at radioliberty.com, and you can see pictures and information on all of the water filters. And you probably should have a water filter, a Berkey water filter on hand. And if you buy it through us, of course, you get a four-tape set or a video we produced. That's www.radioliberty.com. And then your assignment is to tell others about our programs. Tell them about our website at radioliberty.com. And then encourage them to join us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation under God can long endure. And lastly, we ask you to pray for America, for revival, but pray for our ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.